Not always politically correct, but always correct. Using only primary source stories of those who were actually there, you're listening to Threads of Liberty. Marie Antoinette, who was Queen of France at the time, was a great admirer of the heroism and personal character of George Washington, though she wasn't in sympathy with his political principles. She wanted to send him a royal gift as a token of her appreciation of his great merits. So she consulted with Lafayette, who knew Washington well. And she used various terms of presentation for this gift that you would address with kings and other monarchs. Lafayette objected to those terms as not being altogether suitable, saying, "They, madam, were only kings. George Washington is the general of a free nation." In another anecdote, in the year of 1780, Frederick the Great, the King of Prussia, presented General Washington with a picture of His Majesty and inscribed underneath the words, "From the oldest general in Europe to the greatest general on earth." Today's story is about George Washington and the Battle of Monongahela. Now, I just have to interject here really quickly that our very first podcast was about the Battle of Princeton and George Washington. And we had a lot of people say, "Oh, I thought that was the Battle of Monongahela." No, that was the Battle of Princeton, and this is going to be the Battle of Monongahela.
Anytime Washington gets shot, people think it's the Battle of Monongahela. Times have changed. There's a House resolution that was passed in the year 2000. This is what it said. It is the sense of Congress that history teachers and educators at all levels should redouble their efforts to bolster the knowledge of the United States history among students of all ages and to restore the vitality of America's civic memory. So basically, the call in the year 2000 was to redouble our efforts to help students remember who America was and who America should be. But we've failed horribly in that aspect. And in one of the ways we've failed is George Washington himself.
True.
We are going to be talking about the Battle of Monongahela today, which is the story that we very first hear about Washington. It is the one where he got shot first.
Yes.
I guess we might say.
And let's clarify, this is not the American Revolution.
No, this is the French and Indian War. I've done this several times on the podcast. I give you questions that I used to ask our students.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask them who fought in the French and Indian War. Every single time. The French and the Indians. They just
which is true.
They beat each other up really badly. They just kind of leave out the Americans and the British out of this thing. But mm-hmm. just to clarify, it was the French and the Indians against the Americans and the British. We were on the side of the British at the time, and the French and the Indians were together.
Well, we were still British, actually.
We were Brits.
We were American colonies.
And proud, very proud to be.
Yeah.
Washington was very proud. The founding fathers were very proud to be British, and with reason. But things have changed a little bit over the last 20 years. People, I don't think, remember much about Washington, at least not what they should. If they did, they would not be trying to take his name off of schools and off of buildings. There was a minister in Chicago, don't know exactly where, but somewhere in Chicago that wanted the name of Washington taken off of his school. And he wanted the students to be granted permission to get counseling since they had gone to school at a school named after a man like Washington who, for all of his greatness, had too many foibles.
Oh, gee. So, well, and you know, we have never said that a person from history has to be perfect in order to be featured in this podcast. We're only visitors to history. A lot of times we don't see the mores of the day. If they knew then what we know now, they might have acted differently. But let's not take away from the greatness that they displayed at that time.
I don't think we know the greatness. Talking to Sarah, our producer, before this, and I will embarrass her horribly now. But here's some of the questions that were asked about history of students, college age and younger. And I think she got one right. So yeah, one. She's motioning one to me. 7% of students surveyed thought Sputnik was the first animal to travel into space. Most of the students thought, over 40%, thought it was Kennedy that said, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." 43% identified the Declaration of Independence as the source of the phrase "of the people, by the people, and for the people," which was, as we had to let her know, it was Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address. And then this is the last one that she's glaring at me right now, but I'm not going to look, that she stumbled horribly on. 63% did not know during which war the Battle of the Bulge was fought. She thought it was a weight loss program. So we've forgotten our history in many aspects. One person that we can't forget, though, is George Washington. I asked this question on one of our earlier podcasts, why should we remember this man? I think I was asking it about Teddy Roosevelt. And the answer with Teddy Roosevelt was, he gave us the can-do spirit that's carried on to America now. So why do we need to study and remember Washington? What is important about the man? He was the first president. He did lead us in the American Revolution. Those are historical events. But how does it affect us now? And to Sarah's credit, I will give her credit for this line. I was asking her about this generation. She said it was Washington that finally said, that's it. Enough. You're not going to keep on taking away our freedoms. We're going to fight for this. This is important to us. And he carried a nation through that had no right under heaven to beat the greatest, most powerful nation in the world, Great Britain. So what we had here is a man that was a man of his times, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. You know, cometh the hour, cometh the man, as they say. George Washington was British to begin with. He was a Virginian. That was his country also. He wanted to be in the service of his country. So when the French and Indian War did come around, Washington volunteered. He was, however, simply militia. And the British didn't think much of the militia. Matter of fact, their general that they sent over to fight the battle we're going to be talking about today, General Braddock, would not even grant him status as anything except a volunteer.
An unpaid volunteer.
Unpaid
yes.
volunteer.
But then Braddock was a little bit brash and egotistical. He was in his 60s, had been an officer or in the army anyway for something like 40 years, and yet he had never fought a battle.
Well, and the problem with the British system at the time was that the only way that you could progress within the military was to fight battles. So he came over specifically to fight in the French and Indian War. And what was the French and Indian War about? Basically, it was Great Britain and France carrying on the centuries-old battle that they had had with each other.
The ongoing feud.
Ever since the Romans left.
Mm-hmm.
They had literally been beating each other over the head for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Now they decided, you know, we're tired of beating each other over the head over in Europe. Let's go over and beat each other over the head in America. It's a new place to have a big fight. So that's what they did. The British were here. The French were here. They both wanted the country. They both had set up forts. They both had armies here. They had one little difference in how they approached it, though. The French decided that the Native Americans knew best how to fight battles here because they had been doing it for thousands of years.
And they did.
The British, however, felt, as the British do at times, felt that they knew better than everybody else. And so they decided they were going to fight the conventional type of a warfare, which is line yourselves up in front of each other, as they did in Europe, and go at it. And that's the disaster that resulted in the Battle of Monongahela. Now, to clarify, Monongahela is really Pittsburgh of today.
Mm-hmm.
So Braddock was sent over. There was a fort at Monongahela, or Pittsburgh. The French occupied it. Braddock's task was to take the British and the American militia, Washington and his boys, and take that fort back. Washington knew that there was going to be a major problem. He knew, and he begged Braddock not to fight the way the British fought.
He tried to warn him.
He said, don't line up in a row and with your red coats and the French blue coats and fire at each other until everybody's dead and the last man standing wins. He said, if you do that, and he tried multiple times to convince Braddock, he said, if you do that, you will lose. There will be a slaughter, which was basically prophetic. Braddock wouldn't listen to him, though.
Can I read you about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the army crossed the Monongahela a little after noon on the 9th day of July within 10 miles of the fort, and the road lay among hills and ravines, which Washington perceived was a fit place for an Indian ambush. And he therefore urged that the militia, the Virginia riflemen, who were accustomed to the woods, might be sent in advance to scour the ground over which they were to pass. But Braddock was too confident in his precautions, and it is said gave him a sharp reproof for his arrogance. High times, said he, high times, when a young buckskin can teach a British general how to fight.
Yeah, because the British had never lost, had they?
I don't know, but that sure indicates his arrogance.
And that was part of the battle that Washington was fighting. But in spite of it all, he decided it was worth it. We want to take this country. We want the British to occupy it. Why was that? Because he loved the principles of freedom that had been developed in Great Britain. It was from that country that America's freedom principally came. It was from Magna Carta. The rights and privileges that we had as Americans came from Great Britain. The Brits had a problem. Their royalty kept forgetting that that's what they were based on. So they had civil wars like we did because of that. And that's what this was over here. But Washington decided that he wanted to fight for those rights. He loved being a British citizen. He loved being English. He and Jefferson and Franklin and the rest of them were very proud. So he was proud to fight for his country. So in spite of the fact that Braddock was a bit arrogant, he decided it was worth it to fight the fight, to go up against the French and fight a battle that he pretty much knew that the English were going to lose. So they started off on their march. The British had, along with the colonials, pretty close to 1,500 men between British regulars and American militia. And what Braddock didn't allow to happen was he didn't want the militia anywhere near the front of the battle. He wanted the militia with Washington at the back because he was absolutely dead sure that once the fighting started, that the militia would run. Because in all honesty, these were farmers and shopkeepers, the militia. And they had at times run before, but they had never had a man like Washington at their head. And we saw what he did in the American Revolution. And remember now, this is some 20 years before the Revolution. This is where he cut his teeth. This is where America first learned that there was a man called Washington that would make the difference in the future of this country.
Well, the advance party of the British gave way when the Indians started attacking. And then they fell into the most extreme confusion, and every effort of the officers to preserve order proved utterly without avail. In this state, they continued nearly 3 hours, huddling together in groups, firing irregularly, often shouting down their own officers and men, but doing no perceptible injury to the enemy, who were concealed in the ravines and behind the trees and rocks. And they singled out their objects with the most deadly aim and produced a carnage almost unparalleled in the annals of history. Of those 1,440 British officers and British soldiers, something like 441?
Pretty close to 500 were killed or injured. So let's lay that scenario out in American English so we can understand a little bit better, because some of these quotations are from old books and, mm-hmm. and they're primary sources. So basically what you had was the Americans marching in single file straight towards Monongahela or Pittsburgh. On each side of them were hills. And those hills were very, very heavily forested. As we mentioned, Washington tried desperately to get them not to march in single file, but Braddock wouldn't let them do it. The battle started when the French fired at the head group of the British soldiers. They fired at them from the front. The Native Americans started firing from the side. The British panicked, and they began to retreat. The problem was, as soon as the front group began to retreat, the Native Americans in the back started firing also. So what happened is this big long line of British soldiers collapsed into itself. And it was, as you read, a slaughter. Of the 85 officers, 84 went down. There was only one left. And that man
was George Washington. And in fact, Braddock did not survive this. He was shot, I think, 5 times, wasn't it?
And let's be clear about this. Braddock may have been arrogant, but he was a brave officer, and he had 2 horses shot out from an enemy.
Five horses.
And he kept on fighting. So in spite of his arrogance, and I don't want to diminish the bravery of the British soldiers here, even though their tactics were weak, but they stayed and they fought, and it cost Braddock his life.
It did. And when he passed away, then the army just fled because they didn't know what to do.
Except for one man.
Right.
One man, that man being
George Washington,
the volunteer, stepped up, and he wasn't from Tennessee. Yeah. But Washington stepped forward and took control of the whole thing. What he did was he had his militia come forward and take the lead role. They were at the head of the battle now, holding off the Native Americans and the French. They were fighting. They went into the forest on both sides to fight the Native Americans there. They had learned as militia how the Native Americans fought. Washington held the lead. The flanks were held by the militia, and they slowly, slowly, slowly retreated back. They picked up Braddock's body and took him with them. He was still alive, but barely. Took him with them as they retreated, and they held off the French and the Indians. They did not take Monongahela. They lost the battle, and they lost it badly. But this is the battle where a hero was born. This is the battle where you could say that America discovered the man that would deliver freedom to them. At the age of 26, 27 years old, I believe he was. So he was a young man. But even then, you could see his traits. He retreated back. Eventually, the French and the Indians left because our militia was putting up a pretty good fight, and they didn't want to lose any more than they already had. And they knew the battle was over. They had won. They buried Braddock by a tree there, along with the rest of the British soldiers. And Washington and the militia retreated back. They went back to Virginia. When they came back to Virginia, Washington was sure that he was going to be condemned because of the loss, but he was treated as a hero, which he rightfully should have been. We look at this battle, though, and this is one of the reasons that we need to remember Washington for. During the Battle of Monongahela, the Native Americans targeted Washington specifically. They saw that this man on this big white horse, which he rode through most of his career, they saw that he was leading the whole effort. They tried time after time after time to take him down, but they could not do it. And nobody ever said it was chance or luck.
No, in fact, let me read you the story about that because it's a pretty cool story. So there was a gentleman with Washington at the Battle of Monongahela, and 15 years afterwards, they were traveling together on the Ohio River, and a company of Indians came to them with an interpreter, at the head of whom was an aged and venerable chief. This personage made known to them by the interpreter that hearing Colonel Washington was in that region, he had come a long way to visit him, adding that during the Battle of Monongahela, he had singled him out as a conspicuous object, fired his rifle at him many times, and directed his young warriors to do the same. But to his utter astonishment, none of their balls took effect. He was then persuaded that the youthful hero was under the special guardianship of the Great Spirit and ceased to fire at him any longer. He was now, he said, come to pay homage to the man who was the particular favorite of heaven and who could never die in battle.
You know, we associate the phrase drawing a line in the sand with the Alamo, but that's happened numerous times throughout American history, and Washington did it in the French and Indian War, and he began here. He drew a line in the sand with the French, and he said, no, we're not going to give this up. We're going to fight you all the way through. And he carried it all the way through the American Revolution and into his presidency. So why should we remember this man? Why should we not take Washington, his name, off of buildings and off of schools? Why should we not cancel him out of our history?
Well, my quick answer would be because if we hadn't had George Washington, we would all still be British.
Which I would think that you would be quite pleased with, knowing your history. But
my maiden name is Wedgwood, which is very English.
It is very English. Yes, it is. But you're correct. Washington drew lines. Washington stood for things. Washington stood up at times when others didn't. We would be British, which wouldn't be totally bad, because as mentioned, that is where many of the principles that make America great came from. But they had violated those principles. And as Englishmen, as freemen at the time, which is what we were in 1755, we did what every other group of Englishmen had done since Magna Carta. We said, no, you cannot violate those rights. Those rights are given to us by God. And no man, I don't care if he's a king, can take those rights away from us. Washington understood the importance of those rights. He drew that line in the sand, and he said, no, you may be the king, you may be our mother country, but these rights come from a higher power. They come from God, and you will not take them away. French wanted to, the British eventually wanted to. Washington was the man of the hour that I believe God sent at a specific time to ensure that America would survive and do the great things that it has done over the years since 1755.
Well, and in fact, the French and Indian War provided two reasons that helped us in the American Revolution. One was that it trained soldiers and officers in the art of battle. And two was when the British decided to tax the American colonials to pay for the French and Indian War.
In all honesty, if there'd been no French and Indian War, there would have been no American Revolution.
Right.
As you were saying, the taxes that the British wanted to impose upon us were to pay for the French and Indian War. They seem to have forgotten somehow that we were in the middle of that war also. That wasn't enough.
We sacrificed for that war as well.
So the extra taxes that they imposed on us were to help pay for that. And again, Washington and those with him, Jefferson and the others, said, nope, line in the sand. We have rights. No taxation, as we've all heard, without representation.
Right.
You will not do that to us. How great was this man? Jefferson said upon Washington's death that he was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen.
So I hope we have provided you with some reasons why George Washington should not be canceled. In fact, should be indeed considered the father of our country. We hope you'll join us again for our next story of Threads of Liberty.